Hey, everybody. Turn to the Charlie Kirk Show. John O'Shea, who is running for office in Texas to primary an incumbent Republican, joins us. And then John Strand, who has been targeted by our government in Soviet fashion on the J6 charges. You want to listen to this. This is extraordinary. Joins us as well. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. There is a lot of dissatisfaction with the Uniparty right now. A lot. In fact, I'm getting emails. People are angry, angry. In fact, I think some of it's a little bit unfair towards Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm not saying you have to agree with her vote, but I mentioned she was speaking at our Young Women's Leadership Summit. I got like 60 emails. Charlie, why would you do that? I said, okay, everyone's temperature is really high right now. I'm acknowledging it. I'm not even debating it, just making a factual statement. And really interesting situation happening in Texas's 12th congressional district. There is a race that is unfolding, and I think it's really important. And you have here a situation, an internal poll conducted for John O'Shea for Congress finds a majority of 2024 Republican primary voters identify with American First Republicanism. Well, joining us now is John O'Shea to help us make sense of all this. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. And a happy 11th anniversary. I've been a longtime admirer of the work that you and Turning Point do.
Well, thank you. One of the reasons I appreciate that. One of the reasons we wanted to have you on is that people are upset. They're fired up. They say, what can we do? Tell us about your race and how you believe it's a microcosm of a macro problem happening in our country.
Yeah, I do. You know, in fact, I was giving a talk last week, and I think most of what I'm hearing as far as the anger and the resentment is that the Republican voters, by and large, don't feel like their will is being heard and represented by their elected legislators or leaders. So, for example, here in Texas, just recently, we had a majority of Republicans actually vote on a sham trial basis our outstanding attorney general and my good friend Ken Paxton. And people are up in arms about that. And as you were discussing earlier in the show, there are people who are very, very furious with this House for having passed that debt ceiling limit. And interestingly enough, you mentioned the wonderful people at Patriot Mobile. They had an event this weekend, and I had the fortune of being able to play golf with both Congressman Keith Self and with Jim Jordan. And they were on opposite lines of the issue. And I appreciated the logic and the ration for the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Jim Jordans in what they were trying to accomplish. But I hear you, and I think the people here in both Texas 12 and throughout the state and throughout the country are just tired of feeling like their voice and their will is not being heard.
So tell us about your district. Tell us what is it composed of, and then tell us, from my understanding, you're primarying a sitting Republican congresswoman. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. Her name is Kay Granger. She's currently the chairwoman of Appropriations, so probably the most powerful woman in Washington, D.C. right now. But, you know, and I appreciate the service that she's given in her, but she was previously the mayor to that and served on city council. But our founding fathers didn't envision a political professional class, and she's been there a long time. And frankly, I think right now that this country is looking for and seeking new leadership. And one of the things that people admire so much about President Trump was that he was an outside business person who would bring that kind of common sense and business skills to the office, and that he wasn't born of or part of the establishment. So the district itself is the largest city is Fort Worth, Texas. It represents about half of Tarrant County, and then it extends out into a more rural area called Parker County, which the biggest cities there are Aledo, Weatherford, and up to Mineral Wells.
Okay, so then what trends are you seeing in your district? So it's a very conservative district, as just looking at the composition of it. It involves Weatherford, Texas, which is some very conservative folks, White Settlement, Carter. Yep. I mean, these are some pretty right-wing areas. So tell us about the composition of the district ideologically and why you think your ideas are a better fit for this district.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I have just recently gotten involved on a grassroots basis politically. I was like a lot of people throughout the country, just enjoying my life and taking care of my family and, you know, trying to serve my community in different ways. But as I've gotten involved, because basically I frankly, as I term it, I used to consider myself a conservative, but I don't think there's anything left to conserve anymore. So now we need to be restorers of our constitutional God-given rights. And I've noticed that anger from other people, but you know, you always worry about, am I just in an echo chamber, or, you know, I'm a precinct chair. So is it just other precinct chairs who are politically involved? And so we commissioned a poll from our mutual friend, Richard Barris.
Great guy.
And what it came back absolutely showed that, that I was on the money in my assumption, which is this is an America First district. It's the 15th largest county in the country. It is the last large red county in the country, too. And so it's constantly under attack. And there are a lot of outside money trying to flip this. But we did just have a successful municipal elections here in the midterms, and we stayed red throughout. The problem is, though, that the, a lot of the people who are running in these offices aren't truly conservatives. So, for example, Congresswoman Granger kind of flirts with being an establishment moderate conservative, you know, conservative type. And that's just not where the base is. The base is 100% behind Donald Trump. And in fact, Congresswoman Granger actually betrayed President Trump. She was very dismissive and just outright hostile towards him when he first ran for office. And then he actually endorsed her in her first big primary challenge for the 2020 election because he needed her vote, obviously, for the impeachment hearing. And then she took the endorsement and then she didn't even bother to vote for the impeachment. She said she was sick and that Republicans don't vote via proxy. And then she proceeded to vote 15 times that session via proxy.
So the grassroots is fired up. Yep. You know, there's probably going to be you're going to be up against a lot. What is the process? What is the timeline? And then talk about, you mentioned this briefly, and I've been outspoken on this. What is the latest with the Ken Paxton situation? It's gaining a lot of national headlines, has some people very confused. What's going on in Texas?
Well, you know, it would be interesting to see just exactly how many of the people in the legislature right now are accepting money from pharma. But I don't think it's coincidental that Ken has been the most effective attorney general in pushing back on these unconstitutional attacks by this current regime in the White House. And, you know, most recently, he was looking into both the vaccines and, you know, whether or not there was any legitimacy about the concerns and their, you know, possible fraud for stating that they were safe and effective. And then he also just recently started investigations into a couple of hospitals for the gender mutilation surgeries of the minors. And that's something that was very prominent in the legislative session this time. So, you know, the issues that are at hand, and I actually have some personal knowledge because Ken and I have been friends for 20 years, that the first time they went after him, they really, pardon the pun, but trumped up the charges. And, you know, he shares a lot in similarity with President Trump, and that's why they're strong allies. But they went after him. They actually they court shopped it. They judge shopped it. They transferred it from McKinney County to my county, Tarrant County. They got that judge conflicted. They then transferred it to Harris County. He had a Democrat judge who ruled in his favor. It got appealed to a Democrat appellate court, ruled in his favor, and then they appealed it up to the Criminal Court of Appeals, which is a little unique in the state of Texas, all Republican justices on that court, and they've just sat on it so they can say that he continues to remain under impeachment. Well, another dust-up happened about 3 years ago, and he had been under investigation by the Merrick Garland Department of Justice, and in the meantime, we had elections and Ken won overwhelmingly. So we actually have a process here where anything that's supposed to have happened prior to an election really can't be used for impeachment. But this current House of Representatives, again, Republicans who really are not Republicans, but just run because they know they can't win as a Democrat and they lie to the voting public, went ahead and trumped up a emergency 48-hour kangaroo court that they just kind of did behind closed doors. There was no transparency. They had a hearing on the last day of Congress and the session. And then by and large, voted for the impeachment to send it to the Senate. Now, the Senate has a very conservative bent to it. Plus, our Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick, is a very strong Christian conservative person. So I think he will get a fair hearing there. But it literally was just a railroad of take our word for it. We don't have to show you any evidence. There's no new evidence that we know.
Well, I just find it laughable that a state that is being invaded with 5,000 people a day is worried about the impeachment of an attorney general who's been strong on constitutional stuff. It's unbelievable to me. Hey, everybody. Look, if you're pro-life, listen carefully. It's important to advocate for pro-life laws. I'm all in favor of that. Pro-life legislation, supporting pro-life candidates. But you have to simultaneously do the other thing. I believe you actually have an obligation, which is to support women in need and babies in need that are at risk of being aborted. Look, when you introduce a girl to her baby by providing an ultrasound, you're giving her the truth at the most critical and important time in her life. 85% of the time when they actually see the baby, they choose life. Now, mind you, preborn provides resources. They provide diapers, baby clothes. And I encourage you, if you're pro-life, to pray about this. Are you giving money to actually support the unborn if you are voting for pro-life? Look, $140 gives five mothers a free ultrasound and saves babies. $280 can save 10 babies. And just $28 a month can save a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. I'm a donor to this organization, and you should be too. A $15,000 gift will provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. Whether you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, this opportunity is just a phone call or click away. I think the world of preborn, I give money financially. And every one of you that are pro-life, I believe you have a duty and an obligation to go to preborn.org/Kirk and give as you can. Give your best gift or call 833-850-2229. That is 833-850-BABY. Go to preborn.org/Kirk. That is preborn.org/Kirk. Question, John. As far as what you were going to be focused on, it seems as if that the regime is covering their tracks on the Biden crime family. In fact, there's some breaking news from James Comer that we're going to be cutting out. Let's play cut six, please, in regards to the DOJ. Play cut six.
This corruption scheme has been going back to the time that Joe Biden was vice president. But what's really alarming about this is, as we know, the FBI has a mole in there that's advising Hunter Biden as to the investigations by the name of One Eye, which in saying it, it sounds like it's something out of a James Bond movie. But unfortunately, it's true. With the amount of evidence that's coming forward, it's scary to think that this guy that's currently sitting in the White House has become this corrupt, and it's really only doing one thing, and that's aiding and abetting the Communist Chinese Party.
So there's an active leaker within the FBI that's giving Hunter Biden inside information. We shouldn't be surprised about this. John, your reaction?
No. Well, you know, honestly, confession by projection is one of the Democrats' go-to plays. And, you know, what they accuse President Trump of is, in fact, what they themselves were guilty of. And I don't understand how people can't see that there's a very clear-cut two-tier system of justice right now. And a two-tier system of justice is no justice at all. I'm sure, you know, the times that I've seen your show and people visiting, I mean, the outward hostility and anger over the fact that nobody's been indicted, nobody's been brought to, you know, with charges except for Republicans. They can rush through criminal charges on George Santos, and yet they've sat on this information about the Biden crime family for the last 3-4 years. I mean, it's just, if nothing else, their brazenness at least has unmasked them. And now most people are awake, if not woke.
I want to play cut 28, James Comer with some breaking news.
FBI officials confirmed that the unclassified FBI-generated record has not been disproven and is currently being used in an ongoing investigation. At the briefing, the FBI again refused to hand over the unclassified record to the custody of the House Oversight Committee. And we will now initiate contempt of Congress hearings this Thursday. Given the severity and complexity of the allegations contained within this record, Congress must investigate further.
Congress must investigate further. And he confirms that this was all about Vice President Biden pay-for-play bribery scheme with a foreign national. John, in closing, your final reaction.
It's not shocking. I mean, the only thing I ask is that they actually do hold them in contempt and actually get something done with it. You know, if you're Dr. Peter Navarro or if you're Steve Bannon and you rely on executive privilege and then they go ahead and shackle you and bring you into court, the same needs to be done for the opposite side as well. I mean, it's just time for people to see fair and equal treatment across the board.
Likely will not happen. John O'Shea, thank you so much for joining us and best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. I appreciate it.
Joe Scarborough is now getting pretty upset. He's really fired up about how Republicans are saying all this stuff is happening against Joe Biden. Play cut four.
And, you know, this Biden crime family and Hunter Biden's laptop and this, that. As we say, if he's guilty of a crime, arresting, charging. But all these things about, like, the Biden crime family, this, that, the other, they keep pushing, and it ends up at the end of the day just being an embarrassment for them. And as Caddy said, most Americans just don't care about this unless you're the wife of a Supreme Court justice that's talking about putting the Biden crime family on barges outside of Gitmo.
So, Joe, did they commit a crime or not? The unwillingness to prosecute obviously doesn't correlate to whether or not they have committed crimes. It's obvious they have committed crimes. The question is, which crime do you want to focus on? The foreign representation, the money funneling in from China, the treason, the tax fraud, the gun registration fraud? Joe Scarborough is a spokesperson for the intel agencies and for the national security state, and he's doing his job. And you're trying to tell me people care about Donald Trump being indicted in New York? Oh, come on. This is Operation Mockingbird. They are preparing to try and run some interference for Joe Biden. Simultaneously, Donald Trump is likely going to be facing four separate indictments going into the Iowa caucus in January, February. They didn't even set a date yet for the Iowa caucus, and it's usually around January, February. I want to tell you guys about something every single one of you can benefit from, and you guys need to change. It's who we use when we go to get mortgages. Look, I balance a lot of stuff. I'm traveling all the time, my show. And I recently needed to get a mortgage, to get something figured out. And it was a tough one. And I didn't want to go to those woke banks. My last mortgage we did, it was with a woke bank. And they were bureaucratic. And they donate to BLM and the gay agenda and all that stuff. And I said, what can I do to actually, and I said, of course, duh, hello, andrewandtodd.com. They're Christian. They're conservative. Our worldviews are aligned. They're fabulous people. When I needed a mortgage, of course, I went to my friends, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. And look, this was the first time I used them because, you know, we were just recently started doing stuff on the show and partners. I said, okay, let's see how it is. You know, we do a lot of things together. It's blown away. They respond within minutes. They walk me through everything. They took care of all those details I didn't have time for. And I said, boy, guys, I now see how great you guys actually are. Responsive. And yes, no more of this woke stuff. Stop using the woke banks. Oh, I want to refinance my home and I'm going to go to a bank that hates me. Stop doing that. Instead, go to andrewandtodd.com. So if you or someone you know is moving from blue states to red states, andrewandtodd.com. Have an aging family member that needs financial relief because you maybe a reverse mortgage, andrewandtodd.com. Are you self-employed and finding it hard to qualify or first-time home buyer? andrewandtodd.com. Again, what I love, again, I'm just friends with them, so I could tell you, I have no other reason to say this except that it's true. They're fabulous. They work hard. We go out to dinner together. They're great people. So don't depend on those woke banks, the big banks. They do a terrible job, by the way. They're funding all the destructive stuff. They want centralized bank digital currency. They're all part of the Great Reset. This is a group of guys. They do a great job. And stop depending on woke banks. For what I needed, I saw it firsthand. They got it done for me. And it was very complicated. It was a thicket. It was a maze. It was a labyrinth. And they said, oh, you got to do this and this. And I'll make this phone call. We'll do this and this paperwork. And again, these other banks that I deal with, it's like, here's 955,000 pages to sign. And they don't call you back. And they don't work weekends. I had a problem with one of the things on the process because it was one thing that wasn't filled out. And they respond on a Sunday within minutes. You're trying to get a response from a woke bank on a Sunday. You'll say, sorry, no response. So check it out. It's andrewandtodd.com. 888-1172, that's how you call them, and say Charlie Kirk sent you, you might actually get them on the phone. Again, they're value-aligned, honest, trustworthy, wonderful people. I use them. You should use them too. Super responsive, blown away. And I could say, if they're good for me, they're good for you. Love these guys. andrewandtodd.com, 888-1172. And finally, some of you might say, oh, Charlie, bad time to buy a home. I don't know about that. You should look what's happening. Commercial real estate is one thing. Private single family home ownership, it might actually stabilize and go up in the next year. If you're young, it might be the time to get in. Think about it, pray about it. But most importantly, go to andrewandtodd.com for all your mortgage needs. Great guys, andrewandtodd.com. Very important story here about the malpractice that is occurring in these January 6 prosecutions. Joining us now is John Strand. He was sentenced to 32 months for being at the Capitol on January 6, has footage showing he didn't do anything other than really trespass. And there's a lot more to this story. And isn't it just amazing? John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Charlie. Great to be here.
John is being criminalized. John is being targeted by his government. Meanwhile, 10,000 people are breaking in and invading our country every single day. Yet it's American citizens that are being targeted by their own government. I just find that interesting. John, tell us your story.
Charlie, so I was at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., as a security guard to chaperone and protect a scheduled speaker at a rally with a government-approved permit. So many of your audience may actually know Dr. Simone Gold, founder of America's Frontline Doctors, who I work for as the creative director at Frontline Doctors. But I was there to chaperone her through a large crowd and make sure she didn't get trampled. And she was simply there to fulfill her obligation to give a speech. And of course, things went crazy. Government agent provocateurs and so forth that caused the day to become confusing, chaotic, and at times, sadly, even violent. But of course, we weren't violent and most of the people there weren't violent. And as you mentioned, the DOJ has gone completely off the rails in weaponizing the law against the people and demonizing a whole segment of people as violent terrorists and insurrectionists when most of them were innocent, framed and entrapped by a government sting. And so I was involved in that. The keynote, Charlie, about my story is that most of these January 6th defendants have taken pleas. Why is that? Well, most of them have been massively overcharged, which is illegal, but the DOJ does it anyway. So they threaten you with 20-year felonies that you can't even contemplate handling that. And so you just take whatever plea they give you. But that allows them to immediately build this massive registry of defendants that they claim have admitted in advance that they knew it was wrong and they knew that they were committing a criminal act beforehand. So they're building a narrative about intent that's false. So I refused that plea, number one, because I'm innocent and I fully believe in my complete innocence, but also because I was not going to participate in a government weaponization to target and destroy so many people, as we've seen.
Yeah. So first of all, you should be pardoned 100% if a new Republican takes over. This whole thing's outrageous. But just let me make sure I understand so that we are on the same kind of page here. Was there ever a conversation through your attorneys or bluntly from the Department of Justice where somebody said, hey, if you cooperate, if you do something, you might get a better deal? Was that ever communicated to you in code or bluntly?
Oh, outright, out of the gate. So as soon as I was charged with a 20-year felony and 4 misdemeanors, the DOJ within weeks offered me a plea of a single misdemeanor. So Dr. Gold, who was my co-defendant, we were charged together, had the exact same charges. We took the exact same steps through the building that day. So everything we did together. She gave a speech. I guarded her while she did it. But otherwise, we did the exact same things. She took the plea. So she only had a single misdemeanor, Class B, and was sentenced to 2 months in prison for that. For myself, doing the exact same actions and actually working under her as her employee, I instead went to trial and I rejected that single misdemeanor plea, even though I knew I would be convicted of all charges. I knew that in advance and I did it anyway and subjected myself to a potential 23 years of prison. I was just sentenced on Thursday to 32 months prison and 36 years probation. So almost another 6 years of my life that the government wants to torture me. But I did that because the charges are false.
Yeah. Do you regret not taking the plea?
Not one bit ever. I knew 2 years ago when I made this decision, I knew exactly how this was going to go. I knew these trials are rigged. They are shams. I know the juries in Washington, D.C. are not only biased, they are salivating to crucify anyone that they can get in front of them and extract their pound of flesh against a MAGA American or a supporter of President Trump, of which I am proudly and unashamedly. So I knew I'd be convicted before I got there. But I knew that this was the right thing and that God's called me to do the right thing, no matter what the cost, even if it means 3 years in prison.
So you've been sentenced to 3 years in prison.
Almost 3 years, 32 months and 36 months. Yeah.
So what were you sentenced? What were you convicted of? What actual criminal code did they convict you of?
So the key one is the 20-year felony, which is a total bastardization of the law that they're using in J6 cases for hundreds of the defendants. And that is Title 18, Code 1512. They refer to it colloquially as obstruction of justice, but that's not the title of the statute. The title is witness tampering. This is a accounting loophole law that was passed in 2002 by George Bush. When he passed the law, he specifically said this should not be used against private citizens for protest. Rather, it was for court cases, civil litigation, to prevent people that were destroying or tampering with evidence or otherwise intimidating witnesses to achieve a corrupt result in a civil trial with you know, post Enron scandal is where this came from. So that's the crime. It's never been used in this way in 20 years of jurisprudence with thousands of other uses. So this is totally the wrong law and a totally illicit use of law. It's a crime by the DOJ is what it is. But I was convicted of that.
Wait, so felony. You got convicted for obstruction of justice or witness tampering. What is the actual USC code?
Title 18, USC code 1512 C2.
Okay. So, I mean, the tampering with a witness, victim, or informant.
Yes.
How on in what reality is being pushed into the Capitol by other people, which is your video?
Yep.
How is that witness tampering? I mean, witness tampering would be more like what the cartel does with an informant
exactly
in Tucson, right? I mean, like, I'm going to blow your brains out or I'm going to murder your dog exactly if you testify against me, right?
Yeah. No, this is in the DOJ's this is in the DOJ's reality, otherwise known as Team Lunacy, as I call it. This is totally detached from actual reality, Charlie. Even the common layperson that doesn't have experience with law can read that statute and understand this is not even apples and oranges. I mean, this is, you know, Earth and Mars. It's totally a different universe.
Yeah. So what else were you convicted of? That count and
four misdemeanors, including
the okay.
Well, including entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds, which would be what we refer to as the trespass element. However, trespassing, this is just generally speaking, and in this actual statute that I was convicted of, trespassing requires a couple of things: that you are aware that you're not supposed to be there and that you refuse to leave if someone asks you to. Those two elements, generally speaking, are required for the concept of trespass. If you had an expectation that you could be present somewhere and then someone asks you to leave and you comply, you cannot be convicted of trespass. That is not a criminal act. So a huge part of this is that most people completely had the understanding that they could be on the plaza outside of the Capitol for many reasons. But you know this, Charlie, that they took the signs down that said otherwise. And it's a public place that people are all the time. And this rally was scheduled in advance with a government approved permit. So of course we were supposed to be there generally. The question then became, are we permitted to be inside the building? Well, that was confusing because the doors were open from the inside and cops were allowing people in, sometimes even chaperoning them. So there were some instances where it didn't seem like it was okay and some where it did. That's confusing and it doesn't allow the people to understand at the moment what actually is appropriate or acceptable. And then the other key element, did you leave when you were asked? This is very key for trespassing. If a owner or a government official says, actually, you're not allowed to be here. If you remain, you will be trespassing. And then you say, thank you for advising me, and you politely leave. You did not trespass and you are not guilty of a crime. I satisfy all of those elements. I believe many other J6 defendants do as well. So I will highly contest and continue to fight against even this trespassing smear because it's inaccurate. It's dishonest, it's fraudulent, and it's another way that the government is persecuting the people in an illegal way.
Okay, I want to play a piece of tape here of your situation. Play cut 21. Let's play all of them. Play cut 21.
Because our plan had always been for Dr. Gold to give her speech outside the Capitol, as the speech permit allowed, the thought of going inside the building never even occurred to me. I had assumed with all the various speeches and rally activity that the Capitol would have little, if any, business going on that afternoon. And how did anyone get in there? It was obvious to me standing on the steps that the crowd would never be able to open the formidable Columbus doors by force. But as shown in a closed-circuit television recording inside the Capitol, the doors were opened from the inside.
John, when do you report to prison?
I have not been given a self-surrender date. It's typically in a few weeks, and I will be trying to spread the truth as much as I can before they put me in.
Let's play another piece of tape here, John. And let's go to cut 22.
I was shocked during my trial when the prosecutor overtly tried to deceive the jury by showing them this clip and telling them the uncovered white hand waving towards the door was my hand, convincing the jury that I was an aggressive member of a mob and trying to attack the entrance. But I was wearing black gloves the entire day.
So, John, what is the significance of that?
The significance, Charlie, is that this is a clear example, and there are many, where the federal prosecutor lied. They overtly distorted and manipulated evidence and distorted and manipulated the reality of what happened in order to showcase, in this case, me as a violent, angry aggressor and a terrorist. The fact of the matter is that's literally not my hand. There are, as you can see, many bodies packed in very tightly there. It was some other person who was acting more aggressively. All of my actions are completely non-aggressive. I was just simply protecting the person in front of me, my client. But I think people understand this, but a defense attorney does everything they can to give a best possible case to defend the alleged criminal. But the government agent, the federal prosecutor, their job is not to win. Their job is to seek the truth and defend justice. So their job is to exonerate someone if that person is innocent. These people are, and these people, I mean the federal prosecutors, the Department of Injustice, or I like to call them the Department of Jihad, because this is a jihad against American citizens. They're not interested in the facts. They're not interested in innocent Americans. They're not interested in anything except crushing people that are in their way. So they're on a mission. Their agenda is pure political power. And this is a clear example showing they'll do anything, including lying in open court, to win.
Let's go to another piece of tape here. Play cut 23, please.
When the doors swung open from the inside and the crowd surged in, the only safe option was to move forward. I immediately noticed there were many other people already inside, and that included a number of uniformed police officers. None of them, from what I saw and heard in the rotunda, directed us to do anything or to go in any particular direction. We weren't familiar with the layout of the building and had no idea how to exit through any other public door or hallway, so we just followed other people in front of us. For the most part, we saw people walking through the velvet ropes, taking selfies and photos. So at this point, we weren't really sure what was happening, but it seemed like the police had opened the building for the crowd to pass through because they'd clearly entered from multiple entry points.
John, you say you're reporting to prison maybe in the next couple of weeks. Tell us about that last video.
So that what you just saw there was portions of my experience inside the Capitol building. If you watch that video that you can find at my website, johnstrand.com, and you can watch the whole thing, it's 14 minutes long, but there's portions that accelerate on fast forward. So you're actually watching all 48 minutes of my journey through the building. And you can see the vast majority of it is surreal, mostly peaceful, literally. And in my case, obviously, I am entirely peaceful, nonviolent, and I'm simply wandering around confused. It's a giant building. I'd never been inside. I had no idea what was what. There's no signage to direct you. I was simply trying to determine what was going on. Like I said, it seemed like the cops had allowed people to pass through the building. So I think most of the crowd had that understanding. Oh, I guess we're going to walk through and then we'll leave. But I couldn't find an exit. It took almost half an hour to find how to get out of there. And then we were still stuck. So all I did was protect a woman through a crowd, guide her through a portion where we got pushed in the building, and then found our way out as soon as possible. We complied with law enforcement officers inside once they finally gave us instructions. Again, that took more than half an hour, but we complied with them. And then we left peacefully. And then I was violently assaulted by an FBI SWAT team 12 days later. And the next 2.5 years of my life's been hell. And now they're about to put me in prison for 32 months for protecting a woman in a crowd.
John, we are with you. I hope you are able to get some peace. Is there an appellate process?
Yes, sir. I am appealing every charge. It'll go on for, it's a long time. It takes a lot of time and effort and money and prayers. So I hope your audience
can even take into your prison sentence. Yeah, it actually can take, they could actually still sentence you, which is sick. All right, John, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.